so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Prophetic fulfillment.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. We receive that word, Lord, for this year, prophetic fulfillment. I receive it in my life, and we receive it for Glory and Peace Church, for all our families, in Jesus' name. Welcome to the Christmas Eve service, everyone. Welcome to those in house and those online. Let's start this service with some praise and worship. Let's just sing to Him. Sing to our Savior in Jesus' name. Father, we worship Your name. Thank You that Your presence is here, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise Your name. We worship You, God. Hallelujah. Oh, come, oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. Oh, come.
Oh, come let us adore Him in Christ. One last time, we'll give him all the glory.
We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We worship your name. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. You are the light of the world.
Oh, light of the world. Treasure of heaven, brilliant like the stars in the wintry sky. Joy of the Father, reach through the darkness, shine across the earth, send the shadows to fly. Light of the world, from the beginning, tragedy of time were no match for your love. From great heights of glory, you saw my story. God, you entered in and became one of us. Oh, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah for the things he has done.
Save. High King of heaven, death is the poorer, and we are the richer by the price that he paid. Oh, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah for the things he has done. Come and adore him.
stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long live the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Sing with me.
Friend, oh, we sing, oh, we sing. fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine. When Christ was born, oh night divine, oh night, oh night divine. Lord, we fall now on our knees as we hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, oh night, when Christ was born, oh night divine, oh night divine. Father, we are thankful that there was a fullness of time. A time, a moment, that there was a manifestation of that which you promised. A son was going to be born and given to us, whose name was to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. Lord, today, because of the manifestation, the fulfillment of your prophetic declaration, we stand in this place, in your presence, thankful, for our Redeemer has come. And the price for our salvation is fully paid. We give you praise, Father, for this wonderful moment, this new day, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all here this wonderful day. Thank you so very much. That was beautiful. You may be seated. Normally, Christmas Eve services happen in the evening, Christmas Eve, but we elected to join the people somewhere else that are celebrating Christmas Eve at this time. So that you can have your evening free for family and other things that you need to deal with. We're thankful for the life that we have in Christ Jesus. This morning, being Christmas Eve, I want to talk about the things that were Eve to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. God promised in the garden when man fell that the seed of the woman was going to come. And obviously, when God says something, you expect it to happen immediately. And many times we get disappointed when what we were expecting didn't happen as quickly as we thought it should. But one thing that we should be very clear about in our walk of faith is that if God says it, He will do it. Amen? If God ever speaks anything out of His mouth, it is a done deal. And we should draw on that for every aspect of our lives. When I come to this time, this season of Christmas, I want to explore what it really means to me. Yes, I know Jesus was born in a manger, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, God willing. I know the shepherds came. I know the magi came to a house. I know that they left Nazareth to come to Bethlehem and all of that. But in the storyline are lessons of life. And I don't want us to miss those lessons, those things that God is communicating, because God doesn't do anything just to do something because there's nothing else to do. Everything God does has a purpose and an intent. Everything that happens in our lives has a particular purpose. Even the names God gives to us have a particular purpose. The city, the town, the place, everything is part of the mosaic of the story of your life and my life. So when I come to the scriptures, I don't come to it casually. I look at every little detail. I turn every stone over and say, what is God doing? Why this and why that? Why the Virgin Mary? What does that name mean? Why Joseph? Why Elizabeth? Why Zechariah? Why? You see, when you come to the scriptures, you must ask the why question. I know parents don't like children asking the why question. We get, you know, really frustrated when we, you know, you give an answer and they say, why this? And then you give that and then why? And then you give another and why? But God is not frustrated by all the whys. He enjoys it. He really wants you to ask the why questions, because in asking the why questions, you learn the heart of God. You get to know Him because you're asking the whys. Praise the Lord. So this morning, in the next few minutes, I want to look at Luke chapter 1. Tomorrow we'll look at another passage of Scripture, but today, just for today, real quickly, I want to look at the Gospel of Luke 1. I want to read the first segment of it to establish the truth of what is being said. During this Christmas season, people do all kinds of crazy things. Hollywood goes berserk, you know, trying to, you know, poo-poo the story and the message of Christmas, making Christmas look like some useless myth. And if they don't make it a myth, they make it something very useless that has no impact in our lives. They don't do that with Muhammad. They don't do that with Buddha. They don't do that with anybody else. But they go after the name Jesus. And why is that? Because that is the one name that is above every other name. Hallelujah. It's the one name that saves us. And the devil wants to make sure that that name doesn't mean anything to anybody. But it's too late, because we got saved because of that name. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for as much for For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses, these were eyewitnesses, and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So Luke is writing to Theophilus, and he writes the book of Acts also to Theophilus, you know, to communicate the genuineness, the authenticity of the message, the birth of Christ, and the message or the story that led to it. So he goes on, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. I want you to know that this is not myth, this is not fake news, this is exactly what happened. And we should take comfort in knowing that somebody took time. Now, Luke was not one of the disciples. Luke was a doctor, a physician. He is one who is there to determine what the truth is. And as a physician, he's pulling through all the details to present to us the message. And he goes on and says to us, he says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Zacharias, the name means remembered of Jehovah. Jehovah remembers you. And the Bible says of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. The Bible tells us that he was of the course of Abia. Now, what had happened during the time of King David, the priesthood, rather than serving all year long and year after year, they split the priesthood into particular groups. And each group was to serve for a week. And he, Zechariah, was from the course of Abia. And as part of that course, it was his time to serve in the temple. And in the service of God in the temple, the Bible tells us something else about him before we go into those details. It says that he was married to one of the daughters, somebody that came from the lineage of Aaron, the high priest. And her name was Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Elizabeth means oath of God. So we have these two people remembered of Jehovah, oath or covenant of God, and you'll expect amazing things to happen in their lives. The Bible goes on and says, and they were both righteous. Some say they were both righteous. That's an interesting statement to be made about people pre the cross. They were both righteous before God, not just before men, before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Can you imagine the commandments? The followed through with the commandments, the law, something that everybody broke consistently. And the Bible is saying that before God they were blameless, and they kept everything, they did the right thing. It says, and they had no child. Come on, come on. People like this should have, you know, children running through all over the place. The word of God says in Psalm 128 that when you live a godly life, your wife will be a fruitful vine by your house, and your children will be like olive plants at your table. But these people have lived the life. They've done things that glorified God. God was proud of them. But the word of God says they were both righteous before God, walking in all the ways and commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless, and they had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren. Now, there's a whole world of difference between being barren and being unfruitful, infertile. A barren woman has no capacity to bring forth a child. No capacity. If you're an unfruitful woman, you can be pregnant and lose a child. Say, I'm pregnant. And 2 months later, 3 months later, gone. Miscarriage. There's no chance of miscarriage here. She is barren, but she is godly. Her husband is godly. So you cannot point a finger at him or her and say, the reason why things are not good in your life is because you are bad people. Nothing like that. God declares them righteous. The word of God says they were blameless. But what do we find about this man that God chose and this woman that God chose? The Bible says, even though they were well stricken in years, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So he is in the temple. Everybody else is out, and they are waiting for him. And while he's there, the Bible tells us that the angel Gabriel shows up right at the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah is troubled. And the angel says to him, fear not. Don't be afraid. For thy prayer is heard. Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. This man is stricken in age, the wife is barren, and he's still praying because the word of God says, your prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. So while things are difficult, he did not give up. The story that leads us to Christmas is a story of people who do not give up. God says to you, says to me, don't give up. If I gave a word, I shall bring it to pass. If you pray the prayer, stick with it. God will answer at the fullness of time. When it seems so impossible, it cannot happen anymore. We are beyond fixing. You cannot unscramble this scrambled egg. God says, watch me. Just watch me. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Your wife is going to bear thee a son, and you are going to call his name John. John. That is not traditional. What is John? The name John is Jehovah is a gracious giver. You're going to have a son, and you're going to call him John because God is a gracious giver. Somebody say, God is a gracious giver. And I am a receiver, a benefactor of all of his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't give up. It is never too late. Jesus, our Lord, proved the fact when he went to the tomb of Lazarus, when he was already dead for 4 days, to show that it's never too late with God. Hallelujah. It's never too late. If God said something, he will bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. You're going to call his name John. Wow. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. I want you to note that statement. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. These are declarations from Gabriel. By the way, the name Gabriel is an archangel of the Lord, and the name Gabriel means man of God. Praise the Lord. So when you have a man of God, that man of God is a messenger like that archangel, bringing you a word. And he's telling Zacharias all these things that are going to happen. And verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is the message that is coming to Zacharias about John, who is coming in the spirit of Elias, and Jesus, our Lord, is going to confirm that later. He says, you're waiting for Elijah? Elijah's already come. He's come. But then he says, makes a statement. He says, but the least of the kingdom shall be greater than Elijah. So we are not looking for an Elijah anointing. We're looking for that greater anointing. The problem of the church is that we're still looking for the Elijah anointing. Meanwhile, God is saying, I've got something greater than that for you. I'm going to do extraordinary things in your life. So you say, Pastor, but this is about Christmas. I'm still talking about Christmas. This is the story before the manifestation. Amen? Hallelujah. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? How am I going to know this? For I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years. That is a remarkable statement, because the Bible tells us that the angel came and said, God has heard your prayer. And now the prayer has been answered, and he says, excuse me? You see, you can pray prayers of faith, and after a while it becomes just a routine. Just like we pray the mindless prayer when we are thanking God for our food. Somebody say the grace. And we just, oh, Father, thank you for this food. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Before the amen is finished, the spoon is in the mouth. And sometimes we pray like that. And we started out praying the prayer in faith, but after a while, we still pray that same prayer, but we really, you know, the fact that it's really going to happen. And actually, if it happens, I'm old already. How am I going to run around with this little kid? I'm already in my 80s. Now I'm going to have a child. Who's going to play with that child? Who's going to wake up when that child wakes up and is crying? Who's going to do all that work? But you keep on praying what you're praying. And now God says, okay, it's time. And you say, excuse me, what do you mean it's time? I'm already an old man. My wife is already stricken in years, and you're telling us we're going to have a baby? And the angel says, I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel, the archangel. I am Gabriel, man of God, that stands in the presence of God. And I'm sent to speak unto you and to show thee these glad tidings. But you know what? You are not going to stop God's timing with your act and your statements of unbelief right now. So what we're going to do is, man, your mouth is going to get shut. Now you're not going to have the ability to say anything else, but wait for the manifestation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, when God has decided that it's time. And there's nothing you're going to do to stop it. Praise the Lord. Say with me, Father, may I never stop or slow down the manifestation of your declarations for good in my life. I stand in righteousness and in the purity of your word to receive what you have declared. Your word is truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the mouth of this man, Zechariah, is shut, and he's not able to speak. And the Bible says, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And meanwhile, the people are waiting, and Zacharias is not coming out. And finally, he comes out, and this is what I want you to see. The Bible says in verse 22, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained, what? Speechless. But watch this next verse. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. In other words, he had this experience, he cannot speak, but he did not go home. Somebody listening? He did not go home. He stayed faithful to accomplish his assignment. How many times do we stop doing what God has called us to do because of something? If I considered the excuses that we make for not being faithful to the Lord, it's just overwhelming. Just overwhelming. But God shows to us through this couple, because this is the same couple that he's using. He's showing to us the kind of people that preceded his coming, his first coming. And these are the same kind of people that are going to precede his second coming. People who are not quitters. People who are steadfast in faith, continuing no matter what. He can't speak, but he stays steadfast until he accomplished his assignment. He didn't pass it on to somebody else. We're always wanting to pass the buck to somebody else. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ did not pass the buck to somebody else. He went to the cross for me. He left the glory of the heavens and came to a dark world. He did not pass the buck. And God is calling every one of us to be a people who are steadfast in faith, who are not passing the buck to somebody else. Somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to, you know what? When you're thinking somebody else, it ends up being that nobody does it. Are you steadfast? Oh, I'm old. There's no retirement in God. Amen? There is no retirement in God. If God has called you to do something, stick with it. Stick with it. The story of Christmas is that sticking ability, being steadfast, continuing, not giving yourself excuses or allowing people to give you excuses. Excuses is what got David into trouble. For when it was time for kings to be in the battle, he was convinced by so-called good folks to stay at home. King, you know, you're a king. We don't want anything bad to happen to you, king. You know, so you should stay home. We'll go and we'll do the fighting, and then we'll bring the spoils. You just stay home. And while he was staying home, he got spoiled. When you are not where you're supposed to be in God, you expose yourself to the lies of the enemy and the deceptions of darkness. I'm going to begin to wrap up. The Bible tells us in verse 24 that when he got home, Elizabeth, of course, got pregnant. And the Bible says, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. For 5 months, she just stayed at home. This is something new. 5 months. She's hiding. Meanwhile, Gabriel shows up in the house of Mary and says to Mary, "Mary, you are going to have a child. You know that sister of yours, Elizabeth? She's pregnant." Verse 26, "And in 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David." Joseph means, let him add, that's the name, the meaning of that name. And the virgin's name was Mary, or Maria. And this name is an interesting name because it means bitterness, but the real meaning of Maria or Mary is their rebellion. Their rebellion. So, Jesus is going to come through their rebellion. Do you see it? The reason why Jesus came is because of our rebellion. He came to save us. Mary, Mara, bitterness. But the bitter waters, when they came to Mara, the Bible says that they threw a stick inside the bitter water and became pure and sweetened. Just like Jesus comes into our lives and he turns our rebellion into obedience and he turns our bitterness into sweetness. God is telling his story. The angel comes to her and says, "Hail thou that art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." We should explore that some, but not today. Blessed art thou among women. You've been handpicked. Was she the only virgin in all of Israel? No. But there were certain things about this young lady that were in alignment with the purpose of God. The Bible says, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this shall be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." You found favor with God. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." You're going to call his name Jesus. Yehoshua. That's the name. Or Yeshua. What does it mean? It means Jehovah is salvation. God, Jehovah, is salvation. If you have God, you have salvation. And then he says to her, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Well, God promised that David was going to have a son on the throne forever. This was God fulfilling that promise. When God makes a promise, he fulfills it. Man may try to mess it up, as it was with the case of Solomon and Rehoboam. And the kingdom slipped out of the hands of David, so to speak. But God, the promise keeper, made certain that David had a son on the throne. And that son was going to be a son that was not going to fail. It was going to be a one-time deal, and it was going to be a deal forever. And so God, our salvation, made himself a son of David, because this Jesus was going to be the one that sits on the throne to make sure that what God promised stays true forever. And that same Jesus is the same Jesus that is living in the throne of your life, of your heart, to make sure that what God promised, that he who is alive in you will make certain that that promise of God never fails. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Jesus in me, fulfilling the promises of God forever, because he is forever consistent. He stays with a plan. Look at him on the cross. He's thinking of the mother. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Take care of her. Huh? He's saying on the cross, today you shall be with me in paradise. He's still healing, still delivering, still setting people free. He never stopped. And that God who never stopped then is a God who isn't stopping now to bring to pass his word in your life. As a pastor, my confidence is founded in the reality that God is not just a truth teller, that God is a truth keeper. Amen? He doesn't just tell the truth, he keeps it. He brings it to pass. Let that be the story of your life and my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, my time is so gone. Mary asks a question in 34, how shall these things be seen? I know not a man. I don't know him. I don't have a husband. How is this going to happen? And the Holy Ghost says, Spirit of God, the angel says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the Spirit of God is going to overshadow you, and there's going to be a thing inside of you when God overshadows you. I say in Jesus' name, let the Holy Ghost come upon us and let the Spirit of God overshadow us so that that holy thing that God wants to birth through us will be made manifest in Jesus' mighty name. You receive that word? And then it says, behold thy cousin Elizabeth. She also is conceived and says, and this is a sixth month with her who was called barren. You know, when you've got a problem and people call you by your problem, you know you got a problem. She was called barren. That woman, that barren woman over there, when you get to her house, make a left turn and you'll get to the house of Joshua. She has become the landmark. The one that was called barren is now pregnant. This is the sixth month. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Somebody shout it with me. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the angel departs, and Mary sets up on a journey to go check out what the angel just told her. She comes into the house of Zechariah and she salutes Mary. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hold it. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought John was going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what the Word of God said in verse 15. What is happening here? God is saying, listen, what I do for you, I am doing for your children. Oh, I don't know if you're hearing me. What I do for you, I do for your children. If I fill you with the Holy Ghost, that which is within you is also going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? So pray this prayer with me right now. Father, bless me so that everyone connected to me will receive the blessing. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. The story of Christmas is that because Jesus is blessed and highly favored of God and grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men, that because I'm connected with him, that I grow also in stature. I also grow in wisdom. I also grow in favor with God and with men. What happens to my father happens to me. What happens to my mother is happening to me. God said the child is going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And God, when he manifested it, did it for the mother so that the mother and the child receive the same. Amen. May you and your household experience the blessings of God. May your life be blessed because my life is blessed. And may my life be blessed because your life is blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God is a promise keeper. Amen. And how he does what he does, we don't know, but we know that he will do what he says he's going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? The story is not completed, but I'm going to stop because I don't want to keep you longer than I have already this morning. But I want you to know that God is on your side. God is on my side. And during this season that we celebrate Christmas, may the blessings of God pursue after us and overtake us. The people who sat in darkness have come to see a great light. May we step into the light of the glory of God. May the God who knows no impossibility rest upon us supernaturally and bring about a total transformation. The Bible tells us that when Elizabeth finally gave birth to that child, interestingly enough, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. She got there when she was 6 months. She stays for 3 months and leaves. She didn't even stay to see the child born. That's very interesting. I'll talk about that some other time. But when God has already finished the work, he moves on. I don't know if you heard that. When you don't feel the presence of God, that's when you're most dangerous. Because it is finished. It is complete. It is complete. Time of pregnancy is normally 9 months. So 6 months plus 3 months, that's 9 months. The job was done. And Mary goes on. When you don't feel God, it's not because of your sin. If you're not living in sin, it's because it is done. You've come to the fulfillment. And now it's the time of manifestation. Praise the Lord. They said, when it was time to dedicate the child, what name is this child? Oh, Zacharias. We're going to name him. Elizabeth says, no. The name is going to be John. He says, no, you don't have anybody in your family that's named by that name. Why? Because God is doing a new thing. Hello? God is doing what? A new thing. It's not like what was. It's new. This is not a path that you've walked through before. And you're going to step into a new year and experience new things in God. I bless you in Jesus' name. Rise with me. Rise with me. Father, I thank you for this wonderful experience that we have in you. We thank you that you manifested your glory. And that manifested glory is still being made manifest in us and through us in this day and time. We want to say thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We want to thank you for the grace to continue to be steadfast in faith, knowing, O God, that our labor in you is not in vain. Father, we trust in you. Help us, O God, to stay in our post and accomplish your divine will. We seek you with all of our heart, and we surrender our lives to you. Thank you for every man, every woman, every child that is here today. May because of them, others be blessed. We tap into your fullness, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, his name was Gracious Giver. God is a gracious giver. At this time, let us give unto the Lord. Let's release a special offering unto the Lord. I know tomorrow is Sunday and you're going to give again. But you cannot outgive God. Amen? When we trust God, we release that which is given to us to magnify his name. May the Lord strengthen you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his peace and his face to shine upon you. May the Lord uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. And may you know his joy all of your days. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Amen. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning. There will be no service tomorrow evening. And next week, there is no Bible study nor prayer meeting. Our next meeting or gathering is going to be New Year's Eve. And that service is going to be at 9 o'clock. And I've encouraged you as best as I can to make certain that you don't miss that service. You don't want anybody to tell you the story about that service. Come prepared to experience God and know him in a fresh way in that service. Amen? There are going to be different things that we're going to do that particular evening that we've not done on any New Year's Eve service before. Praise God. Be blessed and be highly favored. Enjoy yourselves and see you tomorrow for another presence manifestation. And there is, by the way, the young ones have a presentation after the main service tomorrow. So plan on that. But we'll try to make certain that we don't keep you later than normal. Okay? God bless you.